could have went on.
I wouldn't mind. Well, what wonderful, wonderful singing we've had this morning. What a wonderful spirit it is in the house of God. Not everywhere you go. Not everywhere you go, you feel the Spirit of God. I feel the least of the least here this morning. But I know I'm saved. Not enough devils in hell to convince me otherwise. Glad I'm saved. Y'all give me a little bit, I'll get my composure, but I really ain't worried about my composure right now. Pastor, we used to have said it's really hard to sow seeds when the wind's blowing, so we'll just wait a little bit. Well, I love him because he first loved me. Wished I had a heavenly message. Got your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Chapter number 1. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you've been in this position sometime in your life, and I can relate to it, this message. If it's not for you this morning, it's for me. But I know what the Word of God teaches. It said it won't return void. And I understand there's somebody here that these words will lodge in your heart today. And you got to think about Jonah. I went in and I told Brother Jeff on the phone last night. I walked in the house and I began to think of Brother Jeff. And I just went over to the recliner and I had my Bible in my hand. And I just sat down and I began to read, and this is the particular scripture that fell open. And then Brother Jeff called me later last night. But you may have been in this shape before, and maybe you're here right now, but I want to preach you a message, and I won't be long this morning on no shape to pray. You ever been there when you thought God was a million miles away? You ever been there when you prayed and you prayed and it seemed like you could get no answer? I think we've all been there as Christians. We understand that. And I'll tell you a personal experience in my life. And I remember one time in my life when I was the choir director, I was a clerk, I was doing everything in the church that I felt like I could do. But you know what? There was one thing. I knew who God was. I knew he saved me. But there was a time in my life when I felt like when I could pray, God was not even nowhere around. And we know God don't move. We understand that. And I begin to get worried about it. I'll be honest with you. If I don't hear from God, I get worried. I like talking to him. He's my heavenly Father, and I like talking to him. I like communing with him. And I was at a point and I thought, Lord, I just can't feel what I used to feel. I feel like I'd prayed and it would go to the ceiling and back down. And this has been many, many years ago. Brother Randy, you'll understand this when I tell the rest of the story. I was driving a route in College Park. I was on Fayetteville Road at the time. And I began to pray. I said, God, I'm not going to quit praying until I can feel your presence. And I was in that truck, and I was going down, I believe it was West Fayetteville Road, I believe it was. And I went down that road, and I was praying, and it just had quit raining just a little while before. And I turned left on the street, fixing to make walk to the house on my left-hand side. And I stopped, and I was crying, I was weeping, I was trying my best to touch heaven. Or more important, that heaven would touch me. And I looked up this driveway, and it was an asphalt driveway all the way up. And it was an older driveway where the roots had grown up under it, and it had begun to raise in places. And I looked up that driveway, and in the middle of that driveway, there was a little pool of water. And I was still praying. God, why can't I feel your presence? A little bird flew down to that water. And I began watching that little bird as I was praying. And he tried to drink water out of that little pool, but it was too shallow. And I watched as that bird leaned his head over sideways and got a little lower and began to drink water out of that pool. And it's like from that moment on, God spoke to my heart. And he said, sometimes, son, I got to bring you low to fill the Spirit. Trust me, church, I've never been the same since. But the Bible says here in the book of Jonah, if you're there, stand your feet as we're reading reference to God. Well, I don't even know your traditions, and I really don't mind whatever it may be. Let's just stand as we're reading reverence God's word together. Verse number 1, it said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go into Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish and from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. I just noticed something before I finish reading this. Notice the times he goes down. And you may not ever took time, but the Bible said he went down to Joppa and found a ship going down to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Let me just go ahead and tell you this while I'm here. If you do the opposite of God tells you to do, you will pay the fare thereof. And then the Bible says So he went, paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse number 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was to be broken. And the mariners was afraid and cried out, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he was fast asleep. And the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Now remember the title of the message, No Shape to Pray. That we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for who cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation, and whence cometh thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? Dear God, as we come to you, Lord, as humble as we know how, God, you see the reading of your word this morning, God, and we know you blessed it, but God, we ask you, God, you'd take it, God, and you'd multiply it for us this morning, God. We ask you, God, you'd let us get out of self, God, and get into you. We ask you, God, you'd bless this church. We ask you, God, you'd bless this pastor and his family, God, as they come in and out among this flock. God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for another opportunity, God, just to say how we love you, God, and stand and proclaim your word one more time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing, and you can be seated. But again, the title is No Shape to Pray. You see the story where Jonah was out here, and he was in a ship. And the Bible, not only what I read you about, he went down. If you read the story on further, he went down into the whale's belly. He went down into the depths of the sea. He just keeps going down and down and down. Let me go ahead and tell you, if you're in sin, you're going to continually drift away from God. You cannot stay in that predicament, and you may be there because you feel like you cannot get in touch with God. The Bible says here that Jonah had went down and he went down in the ship. The Bible said he even went asleep, and he was laying there, and the seas began to get rageous. They began to get boisterous, and they went down in the ship. Master asked Jonah, said, he said, why don't you come up and call? They already called on their gods. The Bible says they called upon their gods with a little g. But Jonah knew the big God. He knew the God with the capital G. And they come down to him. Isn't it amazing when the world gets in trouble? They might talk about the church. They may talk about the preacher. They may talk about the deacon. They may talk about their family member. But when they get in trouble, you know who they come to? They come to the church. They come to the preacher. They come to their family member. Thank God there's still some good godly men and women out here. He was down in the ship, and their theory didn't work. Their God didn't work. And they go down and they said, Jonah, arise, O sleeper, call upon thou God. Jonah woke up, and I can just imagine where he's at, and you bear with me just for a few minutes as I try to expound on the fact that Jonah was in no shape to pray. Jonah was running from God. Have you ever had somebody call on you and say, brother or sister, I would love for you to pray for me today, and you sit there and think, Lord, with all the complications I've got going on in my life, with all the troubles I've got going on in my life, I don't have time to pray for them. I still need to pray for myself. Brother Jeff, no doubt you as a pastor of this church, you've experienced when people come to you, and I got news for you. You need to love your pastor. And I know you do here, but let me go ahead and tell you, there's times you come to him, you'll spill your guts on him. You'll spill all your troubles on him and his companion. And at the same time, not even realizing the storm that they're going through themselves. Lord, help us to be obedient unto God. I got good news for you. We got a God we can call on. When you're in trouble, you don't have to go to him. You can go to God first. He was down in the ship, and Jonah was there, and he was out of the will of God, if you'll have it. It's amazing. I asked Tammy this last night. It is amazing how God spent more time getting Jonah prepared to preach to Nineveh than he did even get Nineveh to repent. It's pretty amazing to me that we as Christians have to be pushed, pulled, and prodded and poked just to get to praise the Lord. Lord, we're saved. We're saved. They shouldn't nobody have to push us. But the Bible said that they went down and they woke up. Let me tell you some reasons you could be no shape to pray. Number one is unconfessed sin. That's where Jonah was here. He was facing unconfessed sin, or sin that is unconfessed. Some that he hadn't. And he'll call upon God later in the book. We understand that. And then he gets a little rebellious. He's back and forth in this scripture. He's just like a lot of us Baptists are. Right? And the fact is, if you got unconfessed sin in your life, it will draw a line between you and God. There's no way you can approach the throne room. You can't approach it with sin in your life. You have to be pure. Why is your prayers not getting answered? Why is God not here? Maybe it's something in your life you need to move. What can separate us from the love of God? The Bible says nothing, but sin is a line that God will not cross. Yeah, the Bible tells us that sin will separate us from the love of God. The Bible says that nothing separates us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, nor principality, nor power, or anything. It talks about all that in Romans. But the fact is, sin is the only thing that can separate us from us and the Father. Sin unconfessed will leave you in no shape to pray. A strength that you have that's unseasonable. Have you ever been in a fact where you just unseasonably, you're just weak? Have you ever, you church folks that's been here, been going to church a long time, have you ever just been in a time when you was just too weak even to pray for anybody else? Satan does his job well, and I'm not going to try to pat him on the back this morning. And he's powerful at what he does, but we serve somebody that's more powerful. We serve an almighty God who's greater than Satan is. And in here in the scripture, we see that Jonah was there. And yeah, he probably had unconfessed sin, but this was not a time. Hey, maybe his strength was unseizable. Maybe yours is there are certain things, and I ain't got time to preach on all this, but there are certain things that make us weak in our Christianity. Got news for you. It can be Satan. He is our adversary. But you know what's amazing about our adversary? He can use people. Did you know he can use church people? Did you know if you're willing to let him, he can use you to be an instrument for him? It's amazing, but church people are, I don't know how to tell you, some of them are cruel. One preacher said it this way, they're the only ones to kill their own kind. Church people are, I guess because we're so self-righteous. You know how we feel. Right? I might get run off in a minute. Maybe I'll leave for you today. But the fact is, people, sometimes, I told our church, our last church I served, I told them this. I said, church would be a pretty good place to go if it wasn't for people. I'd love pastoring if it wasn't for people, Brother Randy. Take that with a grain of salt. But Jonah, he might have been there where we know he had unconfessed sin, but it may have been a time that his strength was unseizable. He may have been at his weakest point. And I got news for you. I look around at other people and I try to look on the positive side of life. But when I look around and I see other people and I see their difficulties and I see their problems, mine don't look half bad, Brother Randy. I got it. I'm going to tell you a personal story. And this is something that I've shared before, but I've had a pity party before. I mean, I felt so, I'd walk around my head down saying, Lord, why is this stuff happening to me? Y'all ever done that? And I'd walk around, I'd have the, we in the country call it the mully grubs. And I'd walk around, Lord, why is this happening to me? And I'd had a pity party one time, and I was down close to Georgia Baptist Hospital, and I had the opportunity and the blessing when I walked into a prosthetic center, and I looked around me, and I looked at this one over here without any arms, or this one over here that had artificial legs on, and this one over here that had something else wrong with them, and I walked out, and I was crying while I left that place. I said, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. There's a lot of people could be worse off than what you are. But sometimes our strength does get unseizable. It seems like it's just not the moment. It's just not the time to pray. It's just not the I don't have the ability to pray at that point. But the reason we're in no shape to pray is because sin is unconfessed. Our strength is unseasonable. This one may hurt a little bit, but it could be because our service is unreasonable. This is what happened in the scripture. He said, look, I want you to, God told him, he said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. He said, he probably thought in his mind like we do, well, I'd rather go a different direction. I think I'll go down to Joppa there and get on a boat and head down to Tarshish. I think I'll go a different direction. Let me tell you this, if God tells you to do something, no matter how stupid it may sound in your mind, and I use that word loosely, no matter how crazy it may sound in your mind, it's better off to obey God. It's better off to obey God. But they come down, they guide him up, and say, arise, O son, call upon thy God, that God will think upon us that we perish not. Then the Bible says in verse number 7, and they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee. Now listen to what they ask him. You want to understand, I'm going to give you some things in these questions on why it could be that you're in no shape to pray. I've been there. I've trusted. You've been there also. But here's what he asked. What is thy occupation? That's the first question I asked him. Let me break it down into our English. Who do you work for? Is your God God, or are you working for Satan? What is your occupation? I guarantee you can tell a lot by somebody's occupation. What is your occupation? Who do you work for? They was trying to get some answers out of him. The lots fell on Jonah. Jonah was guilty. Who do you work for? What is your occupation? Then it says this. It says, whence cometh thou? Well, if it's not who you serve, if it's not who's your boss, then tell us where you come from. Let me tell you something. You can find out a lot of people, just find out where they've been. You can really find out about a lot of people just tracing them back where they've been. You know how criminals are caught? They trace where they've been. He said, well, let me tell you, what is your occupation? And then, where'd you come from? Where have you been? Could be the reason. Hey, you may be in no shape to pray because of your occupation. Maybe who you're serving.
Yeah. Bless God.
It could be where you come out of. Could be where you've been. Maybe this ain't popular. We'll sing about heaven at an invitation, okay? I mean, what's your occupation? Number two, it says, whence cometh thou? Number three, it says, what is thy country? Let me ask you this. Where do you live? Where do you live? I know a lot of people that live at home, but their home's not like their church life. A lot of people think that when we go on a trip, we leave God close to the church. Well, you love the Lord, say amen.
Yes.
I just make sure you're awake. But the fact is, where you live can say a lot about you. I told my wife, we had a talk this week, and I told her this. I said, I know what God's put in my life. Brother Randy, I know what God's put there. I understand where God has blessed me. And it don't mean, he's done that for you. If we sung the song or we testified how blessed we are this morning, we should get in a fight with each other thinking that we have been blessed more than the other one. You trying to start a fight, preacher? Yeah, that's what I was told one time. I said, boy, I feel like God's blessed me more than he has anybody. Had the deacon on front bench stand up, and he said, you trying to start a fight now? God's blessed me too. But they said, what is thine occupation? Whence cometh thou? And what country? Tells a lot about you on what country you are. Last question says this. It says, what people are thou? Let me break it down like this. What kind of people do you hang around with? What kind of people do you hang around with? It will tell on you. It will tell on you. Did you know work folks, if they're not right with God, should not feel comfortable around us that are? And if you proclaim what you are around them, they won't feel comfortable. The Bible says here that Jonah, they began to ask him questions. They asked him all these questions, and the Bible don't go into detail of gives a little bit about the answers and stuff like, but it don't really go into detail on the outcome of each individual question that was asked. But I think you can narrow it down like What kind of people do you hang around with? I'm glad to say that I know who God is. And I'm glad to know that I've not been the best Christian in the world. But he's never turned his back on me. I was listening to the song the brothers doing, The Anchor Holds, a while ago, and I thought, I'm glad that it's not my anchor holding. I'm glad it's not mine. And I also know that is the only anchor that goes up and not down. Imagine the old ships when they'd let the anchor down and they would begin to roll it, bring it up. And it was on a chain, and as every turn of the vise, it would go click, 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 click as it come up. This anchor goes up that we're in. This ship we're in today, the anchor goes up. And every click I hear, I'm closer to home. It's not far away, church. Can I give you my heart before I sit down? We live in one of the hardest times that could possibly be happening right now in 2016. There's trouble on every hand. America is slowly deteriorating from the inside. You hear what I'm saying? We're living in a time when politically correctness is better than biblical knowledge in the government's eyes. We're living in a time when it scares me to death to believe that this is our country. We're in the greatest country in the world. But the people have contaminated it so much that America is in no shape to even pray right now. We should be worried. We should be worried. We should do something about it. But look, we're living in a time when I never thought I would see what I understand. Look, I'm not naive. I understand there's been an attack on Christmas ever since Jesus Christ was born, and they set out to kill him immediately. I understand that. Kill everyone 2 years old. And I understand that there's always been attack on Christianity. But did you realize the fastest growing religion in America today is the Muslim religion? Did you know by, they say 2050, and I got stats that prove this wrong. Did you know they say it would be the number one religion in America? Did you know as of right now, it would be the greatest religion in America if we separated Catholics and Protestants? But with them together, we're still Catholic or known as Baptist ain't even Protestant, but I mean that's another story altogether. But the fact is, if you talk about mainstream religion and Catholicism together, did you know that's the only way we outnumber them? What do we do about this? We get in shape to pray. I wouldn't plan on going this way this morning, Brother Jeff. I was not going to do this. But we live in a time I never knew that we would see things in public that we see right now. I remember the first female kiss on TV. I don't know who the other one was. I know one of them was Ellen DeGeneres. And if she comes on my TV, I turn her off. Y'all with me? Ain't no sense us listening to that garbage. But would you realize that we would have a president of our country that would stand up and say it's okay? Told the same one that stands up and says that it's okay to have gay marriage, this is plain, is the same one that said in his own words that he's a Christian? I think it's funny too. The same one that sees those overseas beheaded as Christians, and the same one that seen a police officer get shot in Philadelphia just this week does not stand up and reprimand it, but yet will stand up and defend the Muslim religion. It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad that what's happening. I'm going to tell you what's happened. America has slowly decayed. If I had a jar of salt or sugar, if you prefer, and I took out a pinch of it and put it over here out of the way, you would not tell that jar had gotten any emptier. But over years, there's been pinches taken out of the morals of this country. We're letting it go on in our church houses. We've got church houses that are nothing but playgrounds. We need some good godly preachers. I appreciate your work, Brother Jeff. We need some good gospel evangelists to go out there, Brother Randy, Brother Troy. We need some people to go out there and throw up a warning flag. You know what it is, our job, preacher? We should be throwing out a warning flag to everybody and say, warning, warning. We're in dangerous times. How do we correct that? Get in shape to pray. Get in shape. How do we do it? Bodily exercise? No. I love this scripture. The Bible said bodily exercise profiteth little. How do we do it by picking up weights? No. We do it by laying weights down. Yeah, we do it by casting those weights aside. Get rid of the garbage. Hey, you may not believe this. I've been a pastor. You know what I've had to do? I've had to cast some things aside. Brother, there's things that get in my life that I have to push them aside. Brother Jeff, there's just things in my life that I have to push them aside. We as a church, look, how do you think America's going to get correct? Number one, we get in shape. Number two, that the churches. Oh, let me throw this in. This ain't going to cost you anything. I'm going to vote in the next election. Y'all with me? I'm not listening to what the Teamster says that I'm a member of. I'm not listening to the company I work for that tells me who to vote for. I'm not even going to vote this. I'm not going to vote what's best for my pocketbook. You know how I'm going to vote? Morals. That's how I've always done it. I'm not going to change it this year, Brother Jeff. I'm just going to vote my morals. You stand up and you tell me you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you're glad He saved you, you're probably on top of my list. You can also stand up and say you're a Christian, I watch your life. That don't make no difference to me. I didn't mean to leave you on a down note, but let me leave you on an up note. Out of all the things that's going on in the world, there's a reason God hadn't allowed His Son to return. There is, you listen to what I'm saying, there is a God that's still on the throne. There's still a God who's sitting up there, and trust me, it may look like chaos to us, but to God it don't look like chaos. He knows exactly where you're at this morning. He knows exactly what's going on in the world today, and God has a remedy. God's got a remedy. I'll be honest with you. I'm just like you folks are. The world scares me. And I'll do anything I can to protect my family. And I'm going to tell you my one source of protection. My one source of protection is when I get down, Brother Randy. And I can say I got called on an almighty God that I know is still on the throne. And I can call on Him. Lord, I can't be there. But you know where my dear wife's at. God, I know you can be there. God has the remedy. Yes, He does. We may think it's chaos, but God's still in control. You say, why does it happen, Brother Ken? Unconfessed sin, unreasonable service, those things I told you, we're in no shape to pray. What do? Get in shape this morning. That's the message. Wake up call. Wake up call. But God still on the throne. So the song says, so what can be wrong? Did you know if something happens, let me tell this. If something happens today, I know where I'm going. And I'll just be one. I'll be home. That's my goal, Brother Jeff. That's what I want to do. That's where I'm headed. And I've lived all my life looking for that day. That city that we sung about, that city that we talked about in all the songs this morning. Oh, what a city. Still remember it, don't you? Would you do it? Do you mind? Would you? Come on. Oh, what a city. We're just pilgrims and strangers here in this world. We're just passing through. Brother Jeff, if you would, I'm going to turn it over to you.